think that 2008 is going to be great.
Amen.
And we are already off to a great start. I feel like a championship breed, and the gates have just been opened, and I'm ready to take off. Amen. And so what we've done is, one of our goals this year is we would like to pay off our church mortgage. Someone say amen.
Amen.
How many know it's a good feeling when you pay off your mortgage? Well, when I came here at the church owed about $96,000, and we currently owe $51,282. So the first Sunday of every month, we want to take up a special offering for our building. Now, there's two ways that you can do it. There's a container on the back table. I'm going to read a scripture here. You can just put it in that container. That'll be all for the building. Or there are envelopes in the back, and you can just write on their building, and you can put that in the offering. But make sure you write it on there so that we know what it's for. Okay? Let me read this in Exodus chapter 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that gives it willingly with his heart, and you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall you make. So the Lord instructed Moses to receive an offering for the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was the tent that they dwelled in. They put the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was in there. And it had an outer court, it had an inner court, and it had the Holy of Holies. And so the Lord instructed Moses to do that. And he received, first of all, he said, you must be of a willing heart. So if you're not willing, I'm not talking to you. Amen. It's a heart issue, you know. You say, well, the church always asks for money. No, we believe God. And if you know me, if you've been in this church for any time, I don't make very heavy pleas. So I trust God, and I believe God is our provider. Amen? Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And if you haven't prepared the special offering today, you can bring it next week. And along with that, the way we take up our offerings here in the church, everybody see that wooden box in the back? I call that our seed planter. And we allow people to put their tithes and their offerings in there anytime during the service. And so far, that's been working really good. But how many believe that as we give, that's how God increases us? You may think, well, that's not how the world works. That's exactly right. God doesn't operate like the world operates. If you want to increase with God, then you've got to give. And God was the first one to give. He gave his only begotten son. And as a result of his gift, he's still reaping a harvest on that today. Amen. So that gift is still working. Amen? So why don't we stand up? Thank you. And we're just going to pray over our offering.
Thank you, God.
Because our offering is holy.
Yes.
Our offering is part of our worship. It doesn't... Worship doesn't stop because the music's not playing. Amen? Worship is an attitude of the heart. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just offer you today, Father, our best. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who gives us strength, who gives us creativity to do what we do, Father. You are the one who blesses us. You are the source of our life. You are the source of all good things, Father, in us. And, Lord, we just want to give an offering to you for this building, for the tithes and the offerings, Lord, that you may be honored, that you may be glorified, that your word, Father, may take over this region in the name of Jesus. And we just give you thanks and praise for that. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So you can go ahead and put that in there. Amen.
Let's take it. Everybody else gets the benefit of it. In Psalm 1, the premise is this, that it has to do with favor. God wants to give us favor. He wants to send favor before us. The Bible talks about favor going before us. And one of the things the Lord showed me is that he is the way maker. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. He is the way maker. He makes the way. He's also God's the tree planter. If you read Psalm chapter 1, talks about that you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of living water, and your leaf will not wither and all this stuff. But here's the thing the Lord showed me. He sets us up. He plants us as trees, okay? We'll be like trees planted. Jesus, he sent Jesus to give us a way. So Jesus makes the way for us. But the thing about it is, the one thing he will never do is he will never make us bear fruit. We have to be the ones to bear fruit. A tree bearing fruit requires that tree to take in the nutrients that's around it. So God provides the sun. He puts the tree by water. So there's nourishment. There's all, everything that's needed for that tree to bear fruit is there. But the tree has to bear the fruit. If you read the New Testament, it tells you about what happens to the tree that doesn't bear fruit. And it tells you about what to do if you are around a tree that doesn't bear fruit. And it tells you about what happens if you are a tree that bears fruit. So this morning, whoever it is, if you're looking for new opportunities in life, if you're always concerned that maybe you're not being favored where you are, things are being, you know, you're being put down, or people are getting ahead of you, or you are losing instead of winning, take a look at what you've done with the way that Jesus made. Are you walking in the way? And that means, are you following God's instruction? What is it that you're carrying? The Bible also says that his burden, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We were built to carry a burden and to be yoked up, but which one are we yoked up to and what burden are we carrying? That's the difference. And those things could decide how we walk in the way, because it's a narrow path that he leads us through. So there's not room for a lot of junk. So examine your tree today. I don't know who this is for, but I think all of us could take this and use it. Examine your tree today and see if you are bearing fruit. It would come out in things like, are you giving to other people your gift? Is your gift maturing that you can keep giving of it? That's a sign of a fruit. Are things multiplying around you? When you leave somewhere, are things better or worse? Are you adding to the environment you're in? And don't just have it as an addition principle. It's as an atmosphere principle. Because some people, when God came, there was things here, but they're all out of order. So he had to put things in order. And I'm sure if those things had voices, they would be screaming. Darkness would have screamed because light just got turned on. You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't mean that if you're in a place and you're fixing problems that everybody's going to love you and it's going to be all pretty and nice and there's going to be some removal of things. But your life should bear fruit, especially in its season. And he said that we should be ready in season and out of season. So consider today that if things aren't going like you want them to, and you might have a little stop here and there, consider that maybe God's favor is waiting for you, but are you walking in the way to get to it, and are you bearing fruit? If you were the fig tree that Jesus encountered on the way when he was walking with his disciples, what would he have had to do to you? What would have been his words to you? Would you have satisfied his hunger, or would it have been what ended up happening to that tree? So that's what I want to share with you this morning. Praise God, now pastor gets to preach.
Amen. If I could have all the kids that are in kids' life, come on up to the front. Just want you to line up here. All right? All right, let's just stretch forth your hands. Father, we just pray an anointing over our kids. Lord, we thank you for the mighty work that you're doing in them. Lord, cause them to grow in you. Give them understanding and wisdom. Father, develop their character that it produces fruit of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on, hold on. Give me five. All right, y'all have a good class. Walk. Guys, walk. Kids are awesome. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Make that 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. This morning, we're going to talk to you about entering in to God's best. How many want to enter in to God's best? How many believe that God has more for you than you've already experienced in your life? Yep, like the phrase, you ain't seen nothing yet. And God, this we are in a season. I really felt this strong in my heart that this is a season of entering in. It's a time of entering into a new season. Don't just think of this January 2008 as another year. Think of it as another season. You know, when seasons change, it's affected in the environment. Leaves become different. The light, how much light we have in a day is different. But seasons are a time of growth. They're a time of development. And we need seasons in our life. And God wants to take you into a new season. He wants you to, He has made an entranceway for you. But you must choose to walk through. You know, people could come in this parking lot. They could sit in their car and they could never enter in to this church to see what it's like. In order to enter into something, you've got to choose. You've got to desire. You've got to take some action. And in, when you're entering something, you're leaving something else. If you want to get where it's warm, you want to exit the cold. Amen? If you want to find healing, you've got to exit pain and infirmity and sickness. Some of us may leave poverty and enter into prosperity. God has got some, He's got the best things in mind for you. And if you follow Him, do what He says do, and be diligent, you will live your best. You will experience God's best. 2 Peter, I don't know why I want to keep going to 1 Peter, but 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, says this, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance," everybody say an entrance, "shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And Peter had just finished talking about some things that we could add to our faith: virtue, love, sincerity, knowledge, temperance. It's basically the fruit of the Spirit. When you add that to your faith will be more productive, it'll be more effective, and it'll be more powerful. And when you add those things to your faith, an entrance will be abundantly supplied to you. So, if there's an entrance, supplied to you. It's up to you to walk through. You can't walk through. There must be an invitation. And God has already given everybody an invitation, right? There are many who have not responded to His invitation because they don't have an inclination. They're not inclined. They don't have a desire. And maybe it leads to a hesitation. But I want to talk to you today about some things that we can enter into this new season. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to give you the things that we can enter into, and then we'll look at them. So number one, God, the beginning is you've got to enter into God's kingdom. Nothing is going to be, you're not going to experience God's best unless you're coming into the kingdom. That means you submit to the king. That means you leave the kingdom that you were in, which is the kingdom of darkness, and you come into the kingdom of God. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look at your neighbor and say, today's a good day. Say, I'm coming up, I'm coming out, and I'm crossing over. Say, today's a new day. Amen. I like that. Glory to God. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So entering into God's kingdom requires us to be born into the family. Amen? We become adopted. We become grafted in. I like to tell people I work for a rich Jew. His retirement plan is out of this world. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath. He owns several businesses. He's an artist. He's a master creator. He's a carpenter. He's built several churches all around the world. He treats me like his own son and not just like an employee. And his medical plan is by his stripes, you're healed insurance plan. But here Jesus is telling Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, he was a religious instructor. And he knew that Jesus came from God, but he didn't know how to get into the kingdom. And Jesus always knows how to get to the heart of the matter. Unless you be born again. Well, how do you get born again? You accept Jesus Christ as Savior. You repent from your sin. You ask Him to be Lord of your life. And there you are, right there. You mean it's that easy? It is that easy. Because God, the kingdom is so good that God doesn't want anybody to miss out. He wants everybody to come. Amen? Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Did you know that the way of the kingdom is called the highway of holiness? How did you get here? Well, I came on the highway to holiness. If I was a singer, you know, I could really get on that, but I'm a rapper, so I'll just stick with preaching. Maybe I'll get inspired one time and I'll do a rap for you guys. Who knows? I did my rap one time. We were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And there was two young black boys. They were about 9 and 10, maybe 10 and 11. And I said, you want to hear a rap? They said, sure. So I did my rap for them. And I said, how was it? They said, not bad for a white boy. Where we go? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's go back down to verse 31. He says, therefore, Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Sometimes we forget that God knows we need things. And then we start making the things our focus. Because how many know that food, clothing, and shelter takes money? If you want to purchase a house, you've got to put in some money. If you want to repair the house, you've got to put in some money. If you want to buy food, I don't know of too many grocery stores that are giving food away for free. Does anybody know of any? Now, there are some institutions that give food. But notice, we forget that the Father knows that we need these things. But notice what he said. Don't make the things your focus. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So don't, see, when you're focusing on the kingdom, you have a right and a privilege to come before the King of the Kings, the King of the universe. You can come before God's throne. You can come boldly. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. The kingdom. We have to enter into the kingdom. So in order to enter into a kingdom, you've got to enter a kingship mentality. In a kingdom, what does the king own? Everything. And if your father is the king, then you get access to what? Everything. Praise the Lord. God doesn't want you to lack. But if your focus is not his kingdom. See, when you enter into the kingdom, it doesn't stop there. You've got to enter into the kingdom, but then you've got to make the kingdom your focus, your primary focus. Seek first what? The kingdom. And his righteousness. If those two things are your focus, then all the other stuff will be added to you. How's God going to add it to you? I don't know how he'll do it, but he will. But you've got to make the kingdom your focus. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. If you want God's best, you're going to have to choose to enter into these things. They're available to you. You have your invitation, and you've got to choose to come in. Now, there was a group of Israelites. See, the promised land is representative of all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Okay, when God said, I'm giving you a land that I promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that promised land, it represents all the good things that come to us in Christ Jesus. It represents all the blessings of God, all the goodness of God. Okay? The promised land is not heaven. How do I know that? Because there are no giants in heaven. There is no pain or sorrow in heaven. There is no crying. There is no tears in heaven. So the promised land can't be that because they face giants. But now there was a group of people that chose not to enter into the promised land. How did they choose not to? They complained. They whined. They murmured. They grumbled. Thank God I wasn't a pastor like Moses was. Out of a church of 2 to 3 million people, and the majority of them are complainers, whiny babies. Oh my goodness. No wonder Moses was the meekest man on earth. But there was a group of them that chose not to enter in. Their minds were on Egypt. Even though they were physically out of Egypt, their mindset was still in Egypt. God wanted to give them milk and honey, and they were thinking on leeks and lentils. And even though I'm physically here, If my mind is back here, I can't go forward. In order for you to enter into the kingdom, you've got to leave your past. You've got to come out of the past. You've got to move forward. You've got to enter into a new and living way. You can't dwell in the past. Thank God we don't drive according to our rearview mirror. It's only designed to give you a glimpse to let you know where you came from or what's behind you. It was never meant to lead you. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Listen to the heart of the Father. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Woo! It pleases God to give you the kingdom. It pleases God to welcome you into His kingdom. It pleases God. It excites God when people choose to walk through that entranceway. He says, come on in. The party's here. Come on in. The water's fine. You know, on a hot day when everybody's in the pool and you're testing the water to see if it's cold or it's too cold. Come on in. Just jump in. The water's fine. You'll never experience the goodness of the water unless you jump in. Entering into this season, you've got to jump in because it pleases God to give you the kingdom. Can you say amen? And then we need to enter into the Holy of Holies. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's begin with verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Everybody say, I'm bold. Did you know that you have boldness? What is boldness? Boldness is not arrogance, but boldness is confidence in God. When you're confident in God, the enemy cannot stop you. But if he can get you to deny your confidence in God and put your confidence in something else, then he can enter into you and wreak havoc in your life. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so that much more as you see the day approaching. You know, there was a time in Israel when only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the table of the showbread was. That's where God's presence were. And that's where the mercy seat is. See, the mercy seat is the top of the Ark. And it's got two cherubims touching wings. And Jesus, it is the tabernacle that Moses built, and the Ark of the Covenant is an exact replica of how it is in heaven. I'm convinced that when Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days, God showed him what it looked like in heaven. That's where he got the plans to build the tabernacle on earth. Did you know that things on earth are a reflection of things in heaven? Whose image are we made in? You're made in God's image. That's right. But we have access with boldness to enter in. You can boldly enter in to the most sacred and holy place. You can come before God's throne. And two Sundays from today, I'm going to do a message on the throne. You don't want to miss it. But you have to come to hear it. I'm not saying anything about it. But it'll be good. How do we come in? We come in by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if you want to get to the Father, you got to come by me. You can't go by Muhammad. You can't go by Confucius. You can't go by secular humanism. You can only enter into this place through Jesus. He is the only way, period. There is no other way. Any other way is a thief and a robber, Jesus said himself. So you come by the blood of Jesus. It's a new living way. It's an entrance to a new life. We sang that song, Trading Our Sorrows. How many want to upgrade today? Amen? You want to trade your sorrows and your pain? Let's upgrade today. Come on, trade in your junk and I'll give you something brand new. Glory to God. You can drive off the lot today in something brand new and the bill's already been paid for. Financing has already been provided by Heaven's financial company. He consecrated it for us. He made this way possible. He created this way so that we could come into the Holy of Holies. You don't have to be a high priest. It doesn't have to occur just once a year on the Day of Atonement. You can go to the throne every day. Hallelujah. When you're facing a problem, you can come before the throne and talk with the Father. When you have a need, you can come before the throne and talk with the Father. When you need direction and guidance and advice, you can come before the throne and talk with the Father. I don't know about you, but that excites me. You can approach the King. But be careful to follow Heaven's protocol. Is that he talks about how we should approach the King. Here, God, I just come to you, God, yeah. I'll tell you what, if you stand before the Holy God, do you realize that when angels appeared to people, when John saw an angel, he fell to the ground like he was a dead man. He's like, oh. People talk like these angels. Oh, yeah, I just saw an angel. I guarantee you, when you come into the presence of God, Isaiah, when he came into the presence of God, first thing he realized how unclean he was. He said, man, I'm a man of unclean lips. God just sent an angel, took a coal, touched his mouth. He was clean instantly. There is no fear in God's presence because perfect love casts out all fear. There is no sorrow in God's presence because there's fullness of joy in his presence and good pleasures as at his right hand. There are good things in God's presence. But you have to come in. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's look at verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, say for me. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. How much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression, they were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So He'll cleanse your conscience by the blood he shed on the cross. And because his blood cleanses you, when you go through the blood, you appear before God just as Jesus is. You appear before God holy and blameless and pure because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are holy because he is holy. And the minute you choose to let the blood of Jesus cleanse you, you're clean. He has his blood is like Drano. It'll flush all the junk out of you. If you have any junk in you, and we know that being on this earth, you will pick up junk. Where does dust come from anyway? You clean it and the next day it shows up. Because we live in this world. You have any access to this world? I hope y'all wash your hands before you eat, because if you go throughout a day, you're going to pick up stuff. Wash your hands. We pick up stuff in this world, but in the presence of Christ, it's all washed away. So we got to enter into the Holy of Holies. Then we need to enter his gates. How do we enter his gates? How do we come before the Lord? Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. You've got to be thankful for the things that God has done. You've got to find something to be thankful for. When you appear before God, he's going to say to you, you got 10 seconds to be thankful for something. Otherwise, you've got to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You've got to come and give your life. You've got to give a sacrifice of praise, an offering of thanksgiving before God. That gives you access into his presence. Well, God, I just want to come before you today. The door's going to be shut. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. In other words, you and thanksgiving have to partner up, and you got to walk together through the gates. That's just the entrance of the gates. And praise will bring you closer. Worship will bring you closer. You got to focus on what God has done for you. Enter his gates to give thanks to him. Continually offer a sacrifice of praise. Well, I don't feel like praising God. Then it's a sacrifice. That's it. That's a sacrifice. When you don't feel like it. What does feelings have to do with it anyway? I didn't feel anything. I felt something. I didn't feel anything. Feelings change. Feelings are like a roller coaster at Hershey Park. They'll take you up, down, around, spin you a couple times. And you'd be like, whoo, ha, whoo, ha. What's my point? Feelings change. You can't go by feelings. You got to go by faith. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is a belief. Faith is a trust. Faith is a firm foundation. Faith is fixed. Faith doesn't change. It can grow. But once you have faith in something, you don't move from that. But you come with thanksgiving. Come with a smile on your face. Come and be open to God. Point is, you got to come. Because of what Jesus did, he made you worthy. You come based on what Jesus did, not what you did. That's why we're not hindered by our past. Because you're not coming before God based on what you did. You're coming based on what Jesus did. It's faith in Jesus. It's Jesus. You come. Jesus is the door. He's the gatekeeper. He's the door of the sheep. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And then the final thing that we need to enter in to is we need to enter into his rest. Don't we live busy lives? Got things going on here. You know, it frustrates me personally that the world has designed things to be done today on the Lord's Day. And for too many people, they get sucked in and that takes precedent. But we need, if we want to change it, let's pray. Let's pray that their events won't be attended to. as much. Hebrews chapter 3, let's look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear His voice, oh, it is so important to hear His voice. His voice will give you peace. His voice will give you rest. He is the source. Jesus said, all those who are heavy laden, you're bogged down, you're weary because of the burdens that you're trying to carry. He said, all those who are heavy, He said, come to Me and I will give you rest. He will take those burdens off you. He'll break that yoke. He'll remove that burden from you. But you've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him. Hey, Lord, I'd like to put in the order of rest to go, please. Can you just send it my way? No, come. Come to Him. Go to the Word. Come to Him in the Spirit in prayer. And there are things in this passage here that will hinder your rest. Number one, if you don't hear His voice, you will not have a restful life. You will have turmoil. If you miss His voice, you miss the blessing that He wants to lead you into. Number two, a hardening of the heart. If you harden your heart, you're going to miss out on the rest. A hardening of the heart means you're a self-made man. I can do it my way. My way or the highway? Jesus said, okay, get on the highway, brother. Because in the kingdom of God, it's not your way, it's the King's way. You've got to do what the King says do. Number three. Notice it says, verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted Me and proved Me and saw My works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, leaving your first love, going astray in your heart. And then it says, they have not known My ways. Not knowing God's ways or a lack of knowledge will cause you not to enter into His rest. It's a hindrance, a hardening of the heart. You have to have a soft heart. You have to be teachable, willing to learn. That means willing to be corrected. Did He say corrected? Now, myself included, there was no one in this room that knows everything. So at some point in time, if there's someone that knows something you don't, be willing to receive correction. Correction will help you grow. Correction changes your path from a path of destruction to a path of blessing. How many parents do we have in here that just let their kids do anything they want? Eat whatever they want. Go to sleep whatever they want. Now, if we don't do that for our kids, what makes you think that God's not going to correct us? Whom He loves, He corrects. All right. Then, verse 11, so I swore in My wrath, they shall not enter into My rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief. In departing from the living God, unbelief will cause you to depart off the way or off the path. Unbelief. Deceitfulness of sin. Verse 13, I exhort one another daily while it is called today, that lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is so deceptive, it'll make you hard. Unresponsive. When there's a call to change, you're like this. You're the Clint Eastwood Christian. Go ahead. Make my day. You got that look when the pastor's preaching and the Holy Spirit's moving. You got, go ahead. Make my day. Bless me if you can. You'll find that with that attitude, the blessings will pass you by. Because what's happening is, Hardening of the heart doesn't occur overnight, but it's a process. You know, hardening of the heart is a process. You're disobedient here. You're disobedient here. You're disobedient here. You're disobedient here. And eventually, you have just developed a hard heart, unwilling to change. Those with hard hearts are the complainers, the critics, the accusers of the brethren. Sounds to me like, sounds to me just that they're our enemy. For we are made partakers, verse 14, of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Go with me to John chapter 5. So the four areas that we need to enter in, we need to enter into His kingdom. We need to enter in to the Holy of Holies. We need to enter His gates. And we need to enter His rest. So I'm going to deal with rest more next week. I'm going to talk about what is a Sabbath rest. What does it mean to really rest? The devil will try to get you to replace leisure for rest. That's all I'm going to say about that. John chapter 5. We're going to see an example of this in this man by the pool of Bethesda. After these things, John chapter 5, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which was the Sea of Tiberias. Let's see here. Let me see. Yeah, that's it. Oh, no wonder I was in John 6. Makes a difference when you're in the right chapter. Praise the Lord. Okay, John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. These porches represent the fivefold ministry that God has placed in the body of Christ to help train and grow people in the body of Christ. All right? It's a representative. Now, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So they are hindered from entering into the water because the water, they can't get to the water when it's moving because their only way of getting healed is to get in the water. So many people are waiting in the body of Christ for God to move them, and God is waiting on you for you to move to Him. The Bible says, draw near to God and then I'll draw near to you, He said. He doesn't say, I'll draw near to you and then you draw near to me. He already did that. He already stepped out of heaven. He already left glory to come to us. So what are you waiting for? Well, I'm just sitting around the pool waiting. I'm waiting my turn. Meantime, the blessing, someone else steals the blessing because they can't get in. And there was a great multitude there. For verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season. Everybody say season. Into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. When you get into the movement, you get the miracle. But if you are just sitting by watching people, watching others step in, you're missing out. Now, only one could get in. Once this water was stirred, the first one in got the miracle. And the others were left without the miracle. God doesn't always work by moving of the water with an angel, but His blood is always here. His word always works. His name always works. Watch what happens. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Everybody say 38 years. So for 38 years, this man was hindered from entering into God's best. What was best? His healing. How come he couldn't enter in? He didn't have a man. He didn't have a way. He didn't have a way in. He had no one to help him. When you have nothing to help you, God will send help to you. He's a very present help in trouble. When Jesus saw him, Jesus, heaven took notice of him. The Word recognized him. The Word pointed him out. Okay? And knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, will you be made whole? Isn't it funny how Jesus asked him a question? Will you be made whole? Yeah, man, what do you think I'm waiting here for? I'm trying to get in. See, he had to have a desire. He had to have an inclination. There was an invitation, but he had no inclination. Jesus said, will you be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. I don't have an entrance. I don't have a way to get in. Because every time I try to get in, whenever the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. I always miss out on the blessing. I never get what I need. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed. He left sickness and he entered into healing at one word from Jesus, rise up and take your bed. No one had ever told him that before. He didn't realize that he could just get up in response to the Word. But who was talking? It was the Word telling him to do what he needed to do. See, the Word came down and opened it to this man a new season. A season of life, a season of blessing. And that man who was for 38 years crippled in that condition, finally, he didn't even have to go in the pool. He just had to go through the door. He just had to enter into the kingdom. How did he do that? He entered through the king. The king told him, rise. And he was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. It was the day of rest. See, when you're in sickness, you don't have rest. You have turmoil. You have aggravation, irritation, pain. But God wants to bring you into that rest. See, now the religious folks, they got upset because this man was carrying his bed on the Sabbath. Because they took the Sabbath, they had no understanding of what it meant to enter into the rest that God came to give us. But this man, he said, I don't even know who healed me, because Jesus went away. But Jesus found him later and said, sin no more, lest a greater thing come upon you. See, once you're in the kingdom, you've got to remain in the kingdom. And there was another man, Luke 19, you don't have to turn there, and I'm closing. His name was Zacchaeus. He was the head of the IRS, or maybe the head of the Treasury Department. The Bible says he was a chief publican. And now publicans were equated with sinners. Because they would collect the tax, but they would charge people more than what the tax was owed, and they'd take the excess to themselves, fill their pockets, and then give the rest to Rome. So everybody despised the publicans. How many of you pray for people that take your money? I didn't think so. I don't pray for them either. And Zacchaeus, he heard that Jesus was going to be coming by. Now, Zacchaeus was a little man, but he was very rich. He swindled a lot of people out of their money. He was skimming off the top. Maybe he would have gotten charged for embezzlement. I don't know. And there he was, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. Because he needed a way out of the lying and the cheating and the way he lived and the way he earned his money. He needed a way out. But he couldn't enter. He didn't know where the entrance was. And then Jesus came by. In order to see him, he had to climb up on a tree. And there he saw Jesus. Funny thing is, when Jesus was walking by, Jesus looked up and saw him. Just like Jesus saw this man. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, today I want to abide at your house for dinner. Zacchaeus said, all right. And in an instant, Zacchaeus' heart, after coming in contact with Jesus, was changed. He said, if I've wronged anybody, I'll pay him back. If I've stolen any money, I'll give him back four times. He exited the old way of living, and he entered into the new way. But he had to climb up a tree. What are you willing to do to enter in to what God has for you today? What are you willing to do to enter in to his best for you today? There is something you must do. Faith without works is dead. It's okay to talk a good talk, but you better walk the walk that backs up your talk. Amen? What are you willing to do to enter in today to these things? Enter in. That is an active word that means you've got to do something. If you do nothing, you have nothing. God is calling you. His call has gone forth. And he's giving you an invitation. And everything. His kingdom is awesome. His holy of holies is the best place you'll ever be. His gates. You want to have fun? Enter into his gates. He'll fill you with so much joy. And enter into his rest. Don't rebel. Don't disobey. Let's stand up.